And with me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Gerd Vistman, who's Executive Director of the Acadiana Center for the Arts, and Katie Bernhardt, who is the newest member of the ACA's board. So welcome to you both here. I know a lot of people in our audience have been reading a lot about what's going on at the ACA right now. And of course, you always have a lot going on between exhibits and activities and performances and films, and there's always so much going on. But there's been a little progression of articles and lots happening with the merger between the ACA and the Performing Arts Society of Acadiana. And I know that a lot of people over at the ACA and PASA are very excited about this merger. So for our audience who may not have been reading these articles yet, just give us a little thumbnail of what's happened in the past couple weeks.
You know, of course, this process started probably back in January when we had first conversations with PASA about this. And in a beautiful way, this is coming full circle for the ACA, because when the center was initially envisioned in the late 90s, there was an idea of the then Arts Council cohabitating in the center with PASA, with maybe the symphony, etc. And so in a roundabout way, we've kind of ended up where we started, which I think is very serendipitous and very beautiful. But so when we started talks in January, the idea was to really explore this marriage of organizations, because there seemed a very compelling logic in this. And of course, as you can imagine, there are a lot of sensitivities involved, a lot of emotions, a lot of passion, because PASA is celebrating its 25th anniversary next year. And ACA, while we're only 2 years old in our current iteration, we have a 38-year history as the Arts Council with many, many different sort of life cycles in this. And bringing those two organizations together, one of the most extraordinary things about the process, I think, was that we never hit a single bump in this process, and there was unanimous support from both boards, which I think is just fantastic. And maybe Katie can say something to that extent, because she just joined us a couple of months ago, but we're very excited to have her and have her serve her dad's term, mm-hmm. as well as having such a young, energetic person involved with ACA.
Well, I guess also you just mentioned, it's a sensitive issue because of what a tradition PASA has in this area. And it may be that you, Katie, and PASA are about the same age. and so there's probably not a time that you remember when PASA wasn't around, and that does mean something, that something has lasted this long and has brought so much to the community. So maybe tell us just a bit about your memories of performance in Lafayette. Were you ever, I think maybe you grew up around here?
Yes, I mm-hmm. grew up here, and my dad was always real involved with the arts locally, so I was always tagging along to different performances, and I remember sitting in board meetings when it was the Center for the Arts, the Arts Council, mm-hmm. and old Festival International meetings, and how exciting that was, and talking about having something like that locally. And to see how things have developed, and I'm really looking forward to the community coming together and kind of having a centralized arts community by joining PASA and ACA. Mm-hmm. But I've always enjoyed, particularly growing up, going to see the symphony, going to see different performances. I think that was an important part of kind of having a good, well-rounded education as a child, and I think that's something that is important we keep doing in our community.
Right, and that was always a part of PASA's mission, to bring fine arts and performances to the community. And it is interesting to talk to people of your generation. We don't want to keep making that point about you, Katie, but but you've not lived in a community that didn't have organizations like this. You just expect it to be there. It's like the air you breathe, that you think that this is how it is. And I think those of us who have been involved in the arts for so long are really happy that our children and kids a little bit older are thinking that about Lafayette, that it just is a town that supports the arts, that there are a lot of options and avenues for experiencing the arts.
That's also a real concern for me, especially in light of everything with budget cuts, mm-hmm. And things that are going on in the school system right now. I think it's such a central part of our culture in Louisiana, is hanging on to the music, the performing arts, the heritage. It's something very special and unique to our state and our area, and it does need to belong in the school systems as well as have the rest of the community kind of pick up the slack and embrace it. And I guess that's a real concern because it was something I was able to take for granted growing up here. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is something that's really important that, you know, as a community, we insist stays as a part of growing up in this area.
And what you mention about arts in the schools, education and arts, has been a part of the mission of both organizations, both PASA and the ACA, since their inception as well.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, arts and education was the Arts Council's oldest program. We added in 1978. I went back and looked at some of the records. And we've enjoyed a very long and very fruitful relationship with the school system, with UL, with the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., that supported us for 19 years in arts and education now. So this is something else. There's a very significant program that we can talk about in a minute that is also hanging in the balance right now and something we're very concerned about. But I think Katie spoke to something that I've often talked about and that I think is at the core of this. We the wonderful thing about Lafayette and Acadiana is that art and culture are an integral part of our life. It's just there. And because it's just there, we tend to take it for granted. And I'm glad that there's a generation that grew up being able to do that. The flip side of that, of course, is because we take it for granted, because we expect it, because it's so entrenched in us, we tend to undervalue it somewhat. And we tend to not perhaps support it as much as we could and should. And I think that's a big shift that we need to now steer in that direction. I think this merger, this coming together of the two biggest presenting organizations in this region, creating a super group, if you wish, I think it'll help us to unite our patron base, our donor base, our sponsor base. It allows us to give to use and leverage dollars more responsibly, to give better feedback to our donors, to give held more accountable, perhaps, if you wish, if that's possible. But it also unites our audience bases. I think it also allows us to do some very strong conjoint programming. For instance, there could be a great jazz artist that does a solo show at ACA in a small intimate setting one night, and the next night goes on the big stage at the Hyman with a big band and does a second show. Those are incredible opportunities for us that we can now explore going forward. And while we've collaborated many, many times over the years with PASA in education and in presenting, this is just a much deeper level in which we can conjoin things. Or there may be a great performance at the Hyman, but that can trigger an exhibit at the ACA's galleries. And so there's also the opportunity for deeper cross-pollination of art forms. And of course, outreach and education in particular have been such important pieces to both organizations. And I think now we can also offer those in a more concentrated fashion going forward.
Right. And the education outreach of PASA has been really centered around the performances that they bring to the area, very specific performers and performances, whether it's opera or a play or dance groups. And whereas the Acadiana Center for the Arts has been a bit more widespread and diffused throughout the year with certain programs.
That's correct. That certainly is true. And also, of course, ACA has focused primarily on education and arts and education for younger children, K through 3, K through 4, and our family performance is perhaps a little bit older. But PASA's mission has typically been middle and high school driven. So there is, again, a very nice synergetic situation here where we can complement each other really well. And I think that's going to help us build a great platform for arts education.
Mm. I want to tell people who may just be tuning in, my guests are Gerd Vistemann, Executive Director of the Acadiana Center for the Arts, and Katie Bernhardt, who is the newest member of the ACA board. We are here talking about the merger between ACA and PASA and some other things happening at the Acadiana Center for the Arts. Well, I think some people, you know, everything that you've mentioned is certainly a positive and strengthens education, strengthens the arts, offers more possibilities. I think a lot of people are interested in how it's actually going to happen. You know, physically, how do you, merging sounds so easy, but you physically have to deal with two organizations and two boards. How are you setting that up, Katie? Or are y'all going to have joint board meetings?
From what I understand, we are. Mm-hmm. I've only been on the board a couple months now, so I've been observing and listening. But from what I understand, we will have one joint board and a central location, probably housed at the ACA. And I think Gerd probably has a lot better idea of that aspect of the merger.
Well, I would think as the newest member on the board, that would be kind of an interesting experience. You know, you join a board and generally it takes a little while to get used to that one board. And then all of a sudden you have a double board and lots of exciting things that could happen, but definitely a lot to take in.
Yeah. Yes.
So how will that work, Gert?
Let me give you the nuts and bolts. When we started these conversations, early on we identified that we either do this all out or we don't do it, because I think everything else is fraught with too many possibilities for things to go wrong. So we said from the get-go, this will be one organization with one board, with one budget, with one set of staff housed at the ACA for obvious reasons. And we'll also present now at the Hyman Center, but it'll be one conjoined organization. There were lots of details to iron out, and we don't have all the complete answers, but here's what I can tell you. This will be in effect an official July 1st with the beginning of our new fiscal year. Our fiscal year is July through June. We will have one larger board. There will be a number of board members from PASA joining the ACA board to create a super board, and it'll be one board that governs the organization completely. We are creating a new set of bylaws and articles of incorporation as we speak, so on the legal side it also will have a new set of governance documents. We're working on a new budget for the fiscal year that combines and reflects both organizations as one, and PASA will become a series within this. As a legal / technical expression, of course, in any merger, there isn't two organizations become one, so there's one surviving entity, if you wish. And on the books legally, that will be ACA, so that will be the incorporation that carries its name. But PASA will maintain its brand, its individual expression, its Hyman Center performance series, its committees, and so forth. We've really looked at every aspect of this as an opportunity to improve both organizations. So we looked at the ACA and the PASA bylaws, and we've taken the best pieces from both and really created a new structure based on that, which I think is very promising. So the most remarkable thing to me was that there was unanimous support on both sides for this throughout the process. Both boards are very excited about this. That's almost unheard of, because it's not easy to sort of accept certain things about these processes. And I think that shows that everybody was at the table for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just to remind some of our listeners, the executive director of PASA is Vicky Chrisman. And Vicky has a very, very long history with the Arts Council and the ACA. And so she's very familiar and comfortable with that organization as well as the one she's currently directing.
That's absolutely right. And I give, and she would have been here today, but she's off to a conference for the couple of days. Vicky, and I give her the utmost credit for really starting these conversations with the intent of merging PASA into ACA, meaning that she will join our organization in a management capacity, of course. And Vicky has, as you said, worked with us for the better part of 10 years, really, first as a grant-making officer, and then later on in the Louisiana Crossroads series. And we know that she is incredibly capable and just a phenomenal individual. And I think, again, In joining these two staffs together, we're just building a much stronger organization.
Mm. And Katie, what are you looking forward to with the merger? What kinds of possibilities do you see?
I'm always interested in the ways that we get the community involved together. Children's programs are always important to me and something I enjoy in attending and seeing the different exhibits that are going on. And like Gert said, the age difference that each institution targets is going to be a really nice complement to one another. So I'm looking forward to how that works out. And I think the summer is a perfect time for all that there's always great, exciting things going on at ACA with the children and the summer camps and that sort of thing. So I'm looking forward to enjoying being around this summer and watching all those things play
out. And I could imagine more performance-based camps, perhaps, now that PASA has joined in with the ACA. Of course, there are a lot of arts camps that go on at the ACA right now.
Of course. And, of course, we're looking to Katie and me in particular because, you know, I'm ancient at this point, so we're looking for advice.
We're all the same on radio, Kurt.
Thank God. Yeah, that's right. But we're looking to her and her generation for some advice on, you know, how do we build the next generation of audiences and supporters? because I know that there is a new generation growing up in this town now that is really fervent about the arts and supporting them as well. And so we want to learn and understand, what do you want to see at ACA? How do you want to become engaged? Can you volunteer with us? Do we have a few dollars to spend? All those pieces. And I think that's going to be great to have to build a younger group on the board as well. So
absolutely. It's kind of interesting that you say that, because, you know, I have memories of friends who were kind of Katie's age now when the Fine Arts Foundation was here in Lafayette, which was the precursor to PASA, and that enthusiasm and vision that happened at that point. And you're right, every generation has its own vision and particular passions. So it's always good to be open and embrace those new passions. Now, you mentioned just talking about education right now. We've been talking about the merger between PASA and the ACA, but of course, each organization still has its own things that they have to deal with. I think Vicky's up at a showcase right now for the arts, and and you're very concerned right now about the future of a very important arts program.
Yes, we are. The program is called PACE, which is an acronym for Primary Academic Creative Experience. It's a program that we bring to the school system. We're in 23 schools, I think currently in 19 schools, used to be 23, all Title I schools, and we're doing this program K through 3. It is the primary arts experience program for children in our area, in our region. We reach about 30,000 kids a year. We have a lot of contact hours, and we serve a lot of kids in the community. And I think it's not so much about creating a bunch of artists, but this program is designed to help kids achieve in school. It's connected to the core curriculum, and very, very clearly so, and very much by design. It's supported by knowledge from the Kennedy Center. We have this long-standing tradition with the Kennedy Center. We bring workshop leaders into the community that then work with our teaching artists. And the teaching artists that we train to be PACE artists then go in the school system and work with all the school teachers here. So it's a whole web that we've created of really spreading great creative experiences throughout the schools. As a result, oftentimes, especially the at-risk kids, kids with learning disabilities, or the kids that in assessment always sort of are near the cliff or off the cliff, those kids all of a sudden shine because you can reach them through these experiences. You may not be able to retain them or change their patterns in math class, but you can when you have a drawing class or anything like that. There's a very visual expression of this program at the end of each season during our PACE showcases at ACA, and then, of course, the Great Student Arts Expo we just had in May, where we show 3,000 odd pieces of art, and I think it's an extraordinary day and just absolutely wonderful and magnificent. And I'm so proud of the work that our education team does. The problem is that Title I funding at the federal level, which paid for this program, has been cut by 10%, or thereabouts is what we anticipate. So the school system does not currently have PACE in the budget as it stood over the last 14 years or 13 years. This would be the 14th year coming. And we're deeply concerned about what might happen if we can resurrect it, if we can rescue it, if we can somehow maintain at least the core of this program, because, of course, we know there are other budget shortfalls that LPSS is dealing with right now. And if this program goes away, it would be very difficult to rebuild because the infrastructure we've created has taken many years to get to this point. And these teaching artists will have to have jobs, so they will have to move on. I think it would be a dramatic loss for the school system. It's one of the few programs that also closes the gap between public schools in this area and the parochial and private schools, because while they offer arts education to kids that can go to those schools, in our public schools, as you know, there's no mandatory arts education at all.
Well, and I like the way you say teaching artists, because they are artists. All of the ones involved in this program, they're working artists. They, you know, they show in galleries. They have their very professional life in addition to what they do in the schools. And so the students are paired with these. They inspire them. This is a life that you could aspire to, or it's something you can incorporate your life. It's not just something, an afterthought of education. So it is an amazing program. And I know, Katie, you were able to see all the exhibits for the PACE kids. What was your response to all of that artwork on the walls at the ACA?
Well, I love what Gerd said about reaching certain kids. And I think it's a really good avenue. You know, some kids are great athletes, and, you know, that's a great avenue for them, in addition to, you know, pure academics. But, you know, for those of us who aren't the great athletes of the class, you know, having arts in whether it be theater or a drawing class or sculpture, I think gives those children an opportunity to thrive. You know, there's a very few kids that really are going to get excited about going to geometry. But, you know, there's the kid that's going to be excited to go to football after school. And there's the kid that's going to be excited to, you know, stay after to practice for the play. And I think we need to make sure we reach all the kids. If we just reach 10% of our student population, that's no good. And making sure we reach all the kids in our community, especially the ones that, you know, at these schools are the ones in need. So I'm right. always impressed with the artwork, too, because you think, oh, wait, what age? What grade is that? It's like, that's really beautiful. And so we do have a lot of talent in this community.
Well, and we celebrate the arts on so many levels, and certainly the Tourist Commission in Louisiana celebrates the arts and the visual artists that we have here. And, you know, when your painting gets to be worth $30,000 or $40,000, they really like that. But it has to start somewhere, and so many of our fabulous artists in Louisiana started in public schools, didn't they? And so this, you know, just talking about the kids who need it the most, there are lots of camps that are offered, some at the ACA, of course, lots of other art camps, but it does cost a lot of money to go to some of these camps, and the PACE program allows these children to have that opportunity at no cost.
That's absolutely right, and really, it's not just about creating more artists in our community, which I think is wonderful and very, very important. But we've seen this time and again. We see it year after year, especially kids with learning disabilities, where teachers literally say they cannot be reached, they cannot be taught. All of a sudden, something changes and shifts in them, and something opens up, because they may not learn through traditional outlets, but they learn kinetically. Mm-hmm. They learn in a movement class, or they learn by putting a pencil on paper. And all of a sudden, something shifts, and it opens their ability to achieve academically as well. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit of a product of that, right? When I was 5 years old, I had a guitar in my hand, and it changed my life. I was from a working class family. Nobody ever finished high school, went to college. I was the first in 500 years of family history, and my life went in a different direction. So I really do believe that early creative education changes children's lives and gives them a chance to achieve greater things. And that is what this program is about.
So what is the ACA doing right now? What's your path forward with this?
Well, we're trying to build some public traction, mm-hmm. obviously. We're working with the school system in Tennessee. Of course, we have great support there, all the folks in the system, Dr. Cooper, his support staff, the art specialist that we work with in particular, are very fervent about this, because this is an important part of his turnaround plan. Of course, they're fighting many battles on many fronts right now. We also know that the school board was in full support of this program last year. Last year, for the first time, there were issues with Title I, and the school board, led by Mr. Hunter Beasley, unanimously supported us staying in the budget with this program. So one of the worst things that I could, one of the nightmare scenarios for me would be that the school system wants the program, the community wants the program, the school board wants the program, everybody is supportive of it, we want to do whatever we can to keep it, and yet it goes away. Mm-hmm. I think it would be a dramatic loss. And really, it's a very painful process to go through. But so we want the public to be engaged. We're talking about it. And I think there will be ways for us to, and if we have to piece it together for this year, there have to be ways to find the funding. It's about $260,000, unchanged for more than 10 years, which is a problem in itself. But okay, here we are. We want to keep this in place. And then we can look towards next year and find other federal grants or some other resources that may be able to supplant what we were before.
Right. Well, should someone listening right now want more information or to talk with someone about that, should they call the ACA? Is there something on your website?
Yeah, you can go to our website and find out about Arts and Education, mm-hmm. the PACE program, but you can also call us, and either myself or one of our education specialists would love to talk to you.
All right. If you are tuning in right now, my guests are Katie Bernhardt, who is the newest board member at the Acadiana Center for the Arts, and Gert Vristemann, who is the executive director of PASA, here talking about the recent merger or soon-to-be merger with PASA and the Acadiana Center for the Arts. Lots of planning has gone into that, and lots of information out, lots of articles have been written recently, so people can find out more if they search around the web. And I know that you all are all looking to finally be housed together and start working on some programming. So what will that programming look like this coming year?
Well, as I said, PASA will maintain its brand and identity, mm-hmm. by presenting at the Hyman Center. We have a very strong season coming, we've already conjointly looked at programming, mm-hmm. and talked about it, but of course it's still very much under the PASA purview. But I can speak for that side a little bit. We're going to kick off in October with the Apollo Theater James Brown Dance Project, which is just phenomenal. And we are all very excited. It's going to be a really special event. And a week leading up to it, we have actually different choreographers and dancers from that group here at ACA and in other various locations working in the community. So I think it's going to be an extraordinary experience for dance. Then later on, there will be a Irish Christmas show that's booked. That's just fantastic. We're bringing in a 20-time Grammy-winning jazz artist, the one and only great Pat Metheny, will be here in February. That's going to be very, very exciting. And so on. I think the last couple of shows are still under discussion. So I think it'll be a very strong series for PASA with a few special events that we're adding on later throughout the year. At ACA, we're working hard on various series, Crossroads, All-Stars, Jazz. Jazz is almost finished booking. Crossroads is also almost completed. We know, I can reveal this, we start with Dr. John this next season. September 6th, get your tickets early. It's going to be fantastic.
For people rushing to the phone for that.
And there are lots more exciting things happening with Crossroads. We're underway to have this on national television. That's very exciting. And the All-Star Show will have some very, very special surprises this year as well. So we're adding a young and hip series. Again, you know, we got some input from our new board members here. And
does this young and hip new series have a name, or what kinds of performers will be a part of this series?
Well, young and hip is the working title. We probably do a little sort of standing room and seated mixture, but I don't want to talk too much about the acts yet.
Well, maybe we'll have you back tuned. We'll have Katie back as well to talk about that new young and hip series. Well, so it sounds like for the coming year, at least, the PASA performances will be taking place at the Hyman Center, and it will interface with a few more intimate, maybe workshops and things taking place at the Acadiana Center for the Arts.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the idea, of course, is that PASA always will continue to present at the Hyman. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's very much part of this. And if we all together dream big for a second, of course, part of what I think about is what happens in 5 years, what happens in 10 years in this community. We're growing from a town into a city. This is a huge sort of a threshold and cusp that we're crossing right now in Lafayette. I think we've had an extraordinary run this past decade, and we've had some great leadership getting us to where we are now. I think it's important that we preserve what makes Lafayette so unique and so beautiful. This indigenous culture, this embeddedness, the people, the warmth that we have here, all those pieces. But I think it's also important that we allow ourselves to grow in a good and concentrated fashion, that we look beyond the soup bowl, that we broaden our outreach a bit. And in doing so, of course, I think culture is one of the core pieces. So if I'm looking 5 or 10 years down the stretch, I think there will be a new cultural center, a new culture campus. I'd love to help support leveraging current assets like ACA that were already built and put in place, and now to grow a campus around those assets perhaps. And in doing so, I think we can then bring all the arts organizations together and create incredible synergy between them. Many cities have done that in recent history. Atlanta, Dallas, Chattanooga, Nashville, Santa Rosa, California, and so forth. They all have created these big arts complexes and have been better for it. And I think we have real opportunity there to turn something very, very special out for Lafayette. So that's part of also, I think, where we're headed with this organization and what needs to be part of the next discussion.
Well, we'll look forward to having you all on in the years to come to see how that vision plays out and to see how younger board members like Katie Barinhart help in that vision and help to transform our community and work with what we've had for so many years here. Well, thank you both for coming by. Gerd Wusterman, Executive Director of the Acadiana Center for the Arts, and Katie Barinhart, again, the newest member of the ACA's board, here talking about the merger between ACA and PASA. Thank you both.
Thanks for having us.